Well, good morning, church. Again, if you guys wouldn't mind standing with me for the reading of God's word. This is 1 Corinthians 1:10. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you who agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Well, maybe you figured this out by now, but it wasn't until this trip that I realized that working at a church of about 600 is kind of like going to a small school or living in a small town. You do something wrong, and everyone and their mom is talking about it over dinner that evening. Let me clarify, for those of you who didn't know, we went to the airport at about 5 in the morning, and I may or may not have misspelled two girls' names wrong. One of them was Sneeterjohn, okay? One of them was Sneeterjohn, and I misspelled it by one letter, okay? I missed an E, and I put it in Redis. I put the extra E into Redis, so that's what happened. But yeah, I came back from Belize, and everyone was like, I heard you misspelled like 7 of them wrong. I was like, no! Gosh, the rumors are starting, and I haven't even got back. Goodness. Oh my goodness. Yeah, but no, seriously, but for all the stress, all the stress that those first 2 hours of calling American Airlines and our travel agency and me praying on my knees in front of the ticket counter at 5 a.m. and seriously, like a movie, running to the plane in the last 2 minutes, like giving a hug and a kiss to the manager and being like, thank you, and like getting it on the plane. That was the most stressful thing that happened. I'm telling you, Satan did not want us to get on that plane, because every other single detail, every kid, every adult was perfect. One of the smoothest trips I have ever been on as a pastor at this church, and it was in a different country. The Lord was with us every step of the way, including when we walked off the plane onto the tarmac, which was a new experience for me, in 98-degree weather with 90% humidity. Man, as a student pastor, I have never been more proud. The kids on this trip are prime examples of what it looks like to be a kingdom worker. I jokingly said to the parents, and they kind of were like, what? But I was like, I don't really have a lot of responsibilities. And what I meant by that, you know, of course, managing the logistics and making sure that no one died and, you know, everyone was staying with the adults and being shepherded. Every single thing was done by the students. Every single thing was done by the students. We led a devotional every day for the boys, and the students led worship, and our worship team brought us into the throne room every day and truly showed the boys the culture of worship we've built here at Embassy. And Andy and Hannah and Ryan and Stephen and Jada, they all preached, and man, they were guided by the Holy Spirit. And our VBS team, Constance and Reese and Braden, planned and carried out a perfect 4-day program, even though it had to be three days because it rained. That's fine. For a group of 30 kids in the park, sharing the gospel with them. And every single kid who worked incredibly hard as we painted both the missionary house and the global unit where we stayed. And I spoke with Pastor Frankie. He was the director of Votech. He was actually in Amarillo, of all places, this last week. And we got lunch together, which the kids don't know about. They're probably super mad about right now. but he said that he mentioned that our group was different. He had never had a first-time group of Americans who so quickly adapted to the workload and the culture, but also seemed to be so mature in their faith. He was especially surprised that we took up our cell phones and that the kids were eager to do so. He said, "Are you sure your kids are American?" And I, like a proud father, man, just got to sit back and watch it all happen. I was on the sidelines praying and running slides and just there for encouragement, but that was it. I've been here for 8 years now, and it was on this trip that I got to see the fruit of those 8 years. These kids love Jesus, and they are hard workers for the kingdom, and they have been gifted in so many ways that they were able to take those gifts and share them with a group of people who needed it. And not only were they great at working, but one of the boys mentioned that, again, our group was different. And when we asked why, he said that you guys don't go back to your rooms after you're done with your work. You stay here and you play games with us. You help us with our homework and you treat us like human beings. Man, this group of kids here at this church not only works hard for the kingdom, but they are also patient and kind enough to sit across the table from a boy that they don't know and simply just play cards with them. The relational and emotional intelligence of the students at WAC is unprecedented, and I am so incredibly proud of them. Leanne, who has decades of experience leading kids on trips, and I am not saying that she's old, I'm just saying that she has wisdom, okay? I just want to clarify that. She wrote down some instructions for us on a note card for each of us to have a special prayer partner that we would pray for every single day. And throughout the week, we would leave a small anonymous prayer and gifts for our prayer partner. And on the bottom of the page of the instructions was the scripture that we read together. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, "I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly be united in mind and thought." Now, I don't know why Leanne chose this scripture other than that the Holy Spirit told her to, but man, it was a perfect scripture for our week. In context of this scripture, the church in Corinth was choosing sides on who they wanted to be their teacher in the faith. Basically, they were picking a team and becoming divided over it. Some would say, you know, I'm of Apollo, or I'm of Peter, or I'm of Paul. Now, I'm not just bringing this up or saying that all of you do this, but I will tell you, as kind as it is, it's super uncomfortable when some of you make those jokes like, "Oh, you're preaching today? Guess I'll stick around." Okay, whatever. that's me asking you to please stop doing that. But what Paul wanted them to see was that their factions were creating divisions in the church, and they needed to understand that they were all of Christ. Now, here's the thing. We went to a different country, right? We went to a place that is only 41 years old. Belize is only 41 years independent from Britain. I know there are people in this room who are older than 41, right? You are older than this country has existed. We were 1,500 miles away from home in a different culture where they ate different food, had no air conditioning except in our rooms because Pastor Frankie said Americans are weak. And most people spoke Spanish or Creole, and no one looked like us. Yet we stepped into Pastor Frankie's church just a few miles away from the school, and immediately it felt like home. Yes, things were different in their service. Some I will discuss this morning, but as we sang worship together, we sang the song, "I'm a Child of God." And it was one of those out-of-body experiences where I just looked around and I realized again how big our God is, how big his family is. Here's this small little church, the size of our fellowship hall, filled with young men singing their hearts out to a father who loves them and calls them his own when most of them don't even have consistent fathers at home. And here we are worshiping the same God. We are all children of the God who loved us so much that he sent his one and only son to die for each of us so that we could live with him eternally. We are all children of the same God who has the power to restore, who gives us hope in the suffering, who makes the suffering worth living for. Man, we are really different from these people down in Belize, but the commonality between all of us is that God is the same God that we serve is the same God that they serve. A God that is so big and powerful and working in so many ways all over the world, yet at the same time can be so close and so near that he knows each of us intimately by name and loves each of us in our individuality. We are of the same mind. We are united in Christ. We are all part of God's family. And man, that was a beautiful feeling. I'll tell you a couple more memories that I had from this trip. One thing that God showed me very clearly on this trip was how this group of people showed us in every way that relationships matter more than time. I'm gonna say that again because we're probably gonna go over today. Relationships matter more than time. Hear me clearly when I say this. This church was not like ours. And what I mean by that is service didn't start at 11 and we were not out the door by noon, right? If I even go over by a couple of minutes, I kind of feel bad. We sat in this service for over 2 hours. And afterwards, the pastor came up to me and told me that he had specifically shortened his sermon just for us. But there's a moment that I will never forget. One of the deacons was speaking, giving general church announcements, when a young lady came sprinting down the aisle to the front and grabbed the mic from the man speaking. Maybe you're just as thrown off as I was, but I looked at this lady, and it was very clear that she had special needs. And she proceeded to scream and talk into the mic in inaudible groans. She was very clearly excited and kept pointing to a man and a woman who seemed to be connected to her in some way. And after a few minutes of speaking, with the deacon and the pastor just standing there smiling, Pastor Frankie comes up to this woman and he says, "Thank you, Anika. It's my turn now." And he turns to us and he says, "If you ever want to know what the Spirit sounds like when he's praying for you, it's like that." He went on to tell us that Anika, her father had left the home when he found out that she was going to be born with special needs. And Anika's mother had raised her for a long time as a single mother. But 2 weeks ago from when we came, a man from the church decided to marry Anika's mom. And what Anika was telling us out of pure joy was that this was her new father. And she was so happy. She was speaking out of pure happiness that she had been adopted by this man and now had a father who loved her. And at that moment, man, the Holy Spirit came over me like it's coming over me now, and I just started bursting out into tears uncontrollably, to the point where I had to ask God to stop showing me his glory and love because it was too much for me to handle in that moment. Here's this girl who, because of the way that she was born, had a father who didn't love her. But here's this man who didn't not only know that she has special needs, but chose to become her father despite that. Church, is that not our story? For we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us have quote unquote reasons that we should not be loved or taken care of, yet he did. He adopted us and he calls us his own. And this church, the whole church, stood up and clapped for this family. The pastor stopped everything, stopped the entire service, came and anointed this family with oil. There's the pastor's daughter, her name, I forget her name, but she also has special needs. And she came up with the oil and she was so excited that she dropped it and broke it everywhere. But man, they were so excited. They weren't worried about time. They weren't concerned about what was for lunch. They didn't come to church to just to check their Christian box for the week. No, they came to church to be led by the Spirit. They came to worship with their community and to honor those who aren't given the time of day in other places. They stopped their entire service for this young lady who, I swear to you, moonwalked down the aisle to talk about how her life had changed because she now has a father who loves her for who she is. I'm telling you, when she was speaking, I swear to you, I heard her say, "This is my dad." Now, to some of you, this might sound chaotic. It might sound out of control. It might sound like they were letting anything and everything happen, but it wasn't. God came in the room and he brought order out of chaos. None of it felt out of place because it was so authentic. This was a group of people who loved each other and it was evident. I'll conclude with this because I could go on forever about what God taught me during this trip. This trip showed me that the kids at this church are not just any kids. They aren't just your kids. They're my kids. And seeing them practice their Christianity in such a tangible way was one of the coolest experiences I will ever have. I started thinking when I was down there, God, why is it that you've placed me in America in 2025 with a middle-class salary, a house bigger than most of these boys will ever dream of, and the ability to have and buy a lavender latte with oat milk without even thinking about how much it will cost me? And these young men, they live in a country, in a state that is in a horrible place of poverty? Why is it, Lord, that I've had so many opportunities than these boys will ever dream of? How can it be fair that I can have more shoes in my closet than I can count, and these children don't have a pair that isn't falling apart? I can't answer that. I will never know. Other than that, we live in a broken world where sin has taken over with and broken societies and governments, and there are people who will have it harder than I will. This world is broken. But instead of fretting about that, instead of being mad at God, I can take what God has given me. I can take the power of influence that he's given me and the ability to articulate my thoughts and tell other people about those who can't stand up for themselves. I'm telling you right here, right now, I will stand for the broken because I too am broken and I have met the one who can heal me. I will use the gifts that God has given me to help those in need. And man, as far as my ministry goes, I'm telling you this as a church because I want you to hold me accountable. As far as my ministry goes, I'm saying this in front of you and everyone listening, I want to do less pouring in of knowledge and information and balance it out now by giving more opportunities for formation. Being a Christian isn't just about knowing the Bible, man. It's about having the opportunity to live out the Bible. And I want to give my kids more chances to do that. I don't want to just get up every Wednesday and preach telling them the same things that they've heard every Wednesday since they were six. Man, we do service opportunities. This church is great at it, but man, we can do more. I want them to understand that missionary work doesn't just happen in a different country. It can happen right here in Amarillo, right across the street. And we can practice Christianity. We can practice the Christianity that we talk about every week. I want this church and my youth to be an outpouring of God's Holy Spirit and to meet the needs of our community even more, not just through food, not just through clothes. I'm talking real life evangelism. Man, there are people out there who need to know who Jesus is. And here's the thing, I want our youth ministry to grow, not just because butts and seats equal success. Do you hear me? Butts in seats doesn't equal success. The reason I want our youth group to grow is because I want our students to be so changed by the gospel that they can't help but tell other people about it. Because they've seen that it leads to life and not death. So church, I ask that you pray for us. Pray that this week-long experience in a different country doesn't just end here. Pray that it changes our life even more. Pray that I can be changed by the experience of going to Belize and that there will be fruit here at WAC because of it. Now, I'm going to stop there because I could keep going all day and we don't have that much time, and I told you we care more about time than relationships. I'm winking if you can't tell. But we have two students who would love to give you some thoughts that they had from this week. So I'm going to invite Constance up here. She's fantastic. She is a senior this year, and I'm just so proud of her and all the things that she's doing. I guess this is her playing basketball. I think that's called strong-arming. I don't know. It's called a foul, says Shane. Yeah. But if you guys just wouldn't mind making her feel welcome as she comes up here.
Wow. Look at that. I'm good. Okay. I don't know who took that picture, but that's good. There were no refs, so it was fine. Let me just say, I love having a plan. Me and Andy went shopping 2 days before going to Belize. We were asking each other questions because anytime we ask Jake questions, we got a good, I don't know, or a good, we'll see when we get there. Oh, okay. I knew the Lord was going to teach me something because I love going by my own plan. I love having my own plan and then being like telling the Lord, trying to tell the Lord what I can do. So I knew the Lord was going to be like, Constant, sit back, watch this. And sure enough, I got a lot of things from it. Every night we did one word that the Lord is teaching / revealing to us as we're on the trip. So here are a few of mine. Humble. Like I said, the whole plan thing, I'm stubborn, whatever. The Lord humbled me. We did VBS, and on the second day, that was not supposed to be the second day, it was the first, it rained. it rained. And I was like, okay, what happened to my plan? My plan. Everything that happened in Belize went by the Lord's plan, and it was the best thing that could have happened. Never ending. Our Father's love for us is never ending. I've been going to this church since I was 2 years old, and I thought that this was the church. This was the Lord's church until I went to Belize and realized these people that I don't know love the Lord the same that I love the Lord. The Lord doesn't love them less because they have less, and the Lord doesn't love us more because we have more. The Lord loves all of us. Another word that I have is grateful. I was very grateful to be able to go to this trip. I spent my birthday on this trip. I'm a twin, and I was not with my twin on my birthday. Don't tell her I said this, but I missed her a lot. I cried as soon as I woke up. And the boys at the school, Pastor Frankie, were my family that day. The people sitting up here were my family. So I was very grateful to have all of them and be able to get to know them. And grateful that I was away from my family. I love y'all, okay? Another one is full. My heart was so full from going on this trip, from being in the airport really early and Shane talking about airport coffee, because what else would we talk about other than coffee? I was really hesitant. I was holding back a lot, questioning the Lord, is this really what I need to be doing? Trying to land in Belize, one of the worst landings I think I've ever had, but it's okay, we landed, I'm here. And Stephen's sitting in the middle seat going, oh, water, water. And then me trying not to throw up, Stephen looking over, calm down, it's okay. I imagine that's what the Lord was saying to me when I was freaking out before landing in Belize, like questioning everything the Lord had put me through, questioning if this trip was for me. It was. The Lord put me here. Matthew 12:50 was my verse that I had for VBS that I didn't read to the kids because it was my plan to read to the kids, not God's plan. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. This is more true than ever. Talking with some of the boys who don't really have good family homes, they have each other. One of the boys told me the other day that him and one of the other boys, they're like brothers. They have each other's back because his dad does not have his back. And his friend that he made is his brother. 1,485 miles away was where I felt the most called, stepped into the most unknown, and felt the most equipped. Thank y'all for letting donations and providing a lot of our funds for our trip. Thank y'all. I'm going to let Stephen come up here and speak.
Hello, everyone. The day that I met Neil Hammerstrat was the same day that I fell in love with the outdoors, the trees, the birds, and the presence of God. It was amazing just seeing the presence of God in nature. But during the long drive to El Porvenir, well, it's longer if you're riding with Steve Williams, right, Neil? Yeah? Yeah. And Neil has mentioned that he was a missionary in an all-boy Christian school. I thought to myself, how amazing would it be to stay over there, to go over there, you know? And what perspective would God give me if I do go to that area? Fast forward 1 year, and here we are, early in the morning, flying to Belize, thinking back of the meetings, fundraisers, and the people that helped us. Thank you. It was very hard to believe that we are actually doing this. This action that God called us to is actually happening, I thought to myself. It first started with a conversation, with a thought. That thought that I had in that truck on our way to the mountains became a reality. That blew my mind when I was standing with the palm trees. After a half day of sitting and waiting in a plane, we finally made it, Belize, where the palm trees truly show their colors. Matthew 14 was my devotional, and I am happy to share that with my testimony. When Jesus walked on water, What a marvelous story, a story that I have shared to these kids. Now, my main focus was verses 28 to 31 of Matthew 14, if you would like to read along. It says here, "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the waters." "Come," Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the waters, and came toward Jesus. This is the important part. "But when Peter saw the storm and the chaos, he became afraid and began to sink, crying out, 'Lord, save me.' Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. 'You little faith,' Jesus said, 'why did you doubt?'" The reason why that was my main focus is because I was just like Peter, on fire for Jesus. I was fasting, I was praying like a man that lost his mind for Jesus. And then just in the blinking of an eye, everything went dark, letting in fear and laziness into my body. That was the sinking of my life. And I had the privilege to share it to these kids who had their own struggles. Knowing that, I wanted to leave out an encouraging quote that I hope is in their hearts. I said to them, "Stop telling God how big your problems are. Start telling your problems how big your God is." I'm gonna say that again. Stop telling God how big your problems are. Start telling your problems how big your God is. You need to start telling your problems how big Jesus is. You guys don't wanna know why I thought my sermon was good. You see, right after my sermon, the kids got dismissed. While the kids were getting up to leave, a rat snake came in the building. and in one literal second, the kids got up, sprinted to the snake, kicked it outside. All the kids were hopping and stomping on that thing. And humping on that little death noodle. You see, the devil got so mad that he became a serpent again to come and get me. And the kids didn't let it happen. No. One of my favorite moments in that trip was obviously swimming with the kids in the river. I connected so well with the older kids because of the activities: soccer, river swimming. And that river was awesome. The current, amazing. It was kind of dangerous too. But I connected with those kids more while doing the activities I love, which is swimming, because we had the same ideas, the same mindset, the same presence of God that I had in those mountains. And just seeing while I was swimming and just looking on the side while water was almost drowning me here on the side, I looked to the west and I just saw all the kids swimming with me while the sun was beaming on us. The water, the palm trees, and the coconut trees it's a portrait tattooed on my mind. And that was a great connection that I had with the kids. And last but not least, I just wanna thank you guys so much for your donations, for your help, for the embassy to go to Belize and help out Votech. Let us pray. Jesus, I just want to thank you for just having us all here, giving us another day and giving us another breath. Lord, thank you so much for just giving me the encouragement to speak up here. Thank you for just keeping our team safe and alive somehow. I want to thank this church and just you. Lord, thank you so much for just giving us opportunity to go overseas and to just spread your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Stephen. We just want to say that again, thank you so much for just providing a way for us to go do what God was already doing in Belize. if you didn't know, for each kid to go, it cost about $1,800. This church raised over 60 grand, which if you can do the math, was way more than we needed. But it was really cool because with some of those extra funds, we were able to buy this school a couple lawnmowers, some painting supplies, and just some general things that they need. Man, one of the craziest, I'll tell you two more stories. One of the craziest things, everywhere we went, everyone knew Neil. I'm telling you, it was crazy. We went into this like Home Depot looking place and they were like, oh yeah, I had you over for dinner. Why don't you take 20% off of those lawnmowers? Because we're good friends. And I was like, how, what? This is crazy. Another thing, when we were on that river, there was this like family on the other side of the river. There's this little girl, maybe like this big, comes up next to me with these big old glasses. And she just looks up to me and she goes, are you the white people? And I was like, I guess we are. Crazy. Man, Eric is one of my best friends. We've been friends since we were about like 12. And if you didn't know, Eric is quite the poet. You might have been able to catch that in some of his communion meditation this morning. But Eric actually wrote a poem when we were in Belize. So as a benediction today, man, I would just love for him to read that over you. And then we'll pray and we'll get out of here because I know time's important to you guys.
Thank you, white person.
Thank you.
I said that last service and nobody like said anything. So it was okay to say it again. We had a little notebook that we were all writing in. It had each student's name on it. And we just had to like leave some encouragement behind, just some words that we'll leave them with. Whether or not we see them again is up to God. But I was writing in it and working with animals and being desensitized to everything, like even the smells, of course. I don't smell my feet often, but Jake points it out. But I was writing down in the books and the Holy Spirit put all that sensitive guy likes to cry in me. And so I just had tears pouring down my face and I just thought to myself that it's a horrible day for rain. But those tears never left me until the night until where I wrote this and I called it the mission. And serving in the kingdom of God is not about who could and who couldn't. The truth is none of us can. Can-do attitudes lead us to misrepresent the Beatitudes, and it was never about selecting the elect, nor was it about perfecting us to resurrect us. It was never about making mountains out of molehills, and neither is the American way making green out of oil fields. Serving in his kingdom is about building upon the broken from what forth thou word spoken, guiding his little children to gates that will open. Unto him, the one we place our hope in.
So here's what we're going to do. We did this in the last service. It worked out great. You're going to be like, really? I have to touch people's hands? Let's stand up. And I would love for you to grab the hand of the person next to you, including across the aisle. So you're going to have to move a little bit. It's crazy. Okay. There we go. We're I don't know if you'll understand this, but we're a waffle youth group, not a pancake youth group. Nope. Okay. All right. Whatever. Okay. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. God, we come to you hand in hand, united as one mind. God, we are united in you. There is one God, one church, one Spirit. And we are so thankful that we got to be a part of that. God, we thank you for a generous church. God, such a generous church who sends 12 high school kids across the country to go see what you're doing in Belize. God, some of the coolest experiences I'll ever have. And it's all because of this church and the way that they act as your body. But God, your body is bigger than this church. And we were able to see that. God, we ask that we can take some of the experiences that we had and bring them to this church. And God, let us be a church that continues to care about missions. God, not just in other countries, but across the street. God, you are good. You are so good and we love you so much. And it's in your son's holy name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I'll say this and then you can go. Addie, the wonderful girl who made that video, she made a longer video. It's about 10 minutes. It's got a lot more information. We'll put the link up on our website and you can find it there. Peace be to you. Y'all have a wonderful week.